Hey fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. On this Red Table Talk,
this happens to be a topic that is very close to home.
Help for millions struggling with addiction during the coronavirus crisis.
Gammy was a heroin addict.
The quarantine actually put me back in touch with going to meetings because I started to go online.
The thing that shocked me was when you said that you had overdosed a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, it's been a long time since I've had a drink, but old emotional habits try to creep back in.
Yeah.
An addiction specialist answers your questions.
I literally left rehab, and that day was when this whole pandemic started to happen, and I was not prepared for that at all.
Wow, that's real.
From drugs, smoking, alcohol, to overeating.
I'm seeing a lot of people having a lot of struggle around food.
I can feel your anxiety coming through.
If you or anyone you know needs help, this is an important Red Table Talk.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can.
Here we are. How's everyone doing out there? I know this is our quarantine time and it's tough. We've decided to come to the table today to talk about addiction and how to deal with addictions of all kinds during
the time of this, the pandemic.
Yeah, and during this quarantine, which is super tough. It happens to be a topic that is very close to home for us. As some of you may know, Gammy was a heroin addict. Gam has been in recovery now for how long?
29 years. So I'm actually...
29 years?
I celebrated 29 years in December, so I'm in my 30th year.
You're in your 30th year. Go damn! Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've had to rely on going to meetings daily. The quarantine, believe it or not, put me back in touch with going to meetings. My sponsor called me and let me know that there were meetings online. And I actually went to my old home group back in Baltimore.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it was such, such a good feeling. You kind of forget the importance of one addict helping another.
Right.
I mean, it was like being back home.
Right.
You know, it was just such a good feeling to connect with people like me that understood what was going on, sharing the same feelings and experiences. It's just so important.
Right.
People are struggling out here.
Here's the thing that shocked me this morning was when you said you had overdosed a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. So you, like, what do you mean, oh, yeah, like, you know.
Overdosed a few times.
Yeah. That's part of being a drug addict. I can remember getting out of treatment and them wanting to put me on some kind of drug that was going to block the effects of the heroin. And if I tried to go over to get past that block, that, you know, I would potentially OD. And I was like, you think that's going to stop me? Like, that's not going to stop me from doing anything. OD'd a couple of times.
Wow.
So that was not a big deal to me. I knew in my heart that I had to want to change my life.
Yeah.
That there wasn't a drug that was gonna stop me.
Yeah.
I had to stop me.
Right.
Like, I got to get this on my own.
Right. When you say overdose, because when I think of overdose,
I think you're dead.
You can't, you're not
somebody
responsive.
Somebody has to bring you around.
Somebody has to bring you around.
Right.
So that's what happened to you?
Yeah.
So how do they bring you around?
Yeah.
One time they like put me in a tub of cold water. One time they put a lighter to my finger and just burned my finger to try to bring me around. Sometimes you come out of it and sometimes you don't.
Well, all I can say is hallelujah for 29 years.
Exactly.
Because that's
when you
scary.
Call up, when you're caught up, you don't
think about that.
You're not thinking about all of that. You're just trying to get high.
Yeah.
Willow, I'm really proud of you as well because
you have decided to curb your excessive weed smoking.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you always were telling me, you'd be like, gotta stop that smoking. You would always say that.
Well, only because I, as your mother, I could see the effects of it that you couldn't.
Exactly. Yeah. And now...
And for me, it was like with the history that we have in our family, it was driving me crazy.
Because all we could think about is that it's a gate to something else.
Yeah, I haven't been smoking marijuana for 3 months.
Just
specifically THC. When I stopped smoking, it was a really big like eye-opener because I was like, there are so many people, like that people that I called friends in my life who just kind of like...
drifted away.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, really made me think, like, this is really interesting, you know?
So there's a lot of socializing.
It's very social. So, I mean, for me, it was. It was like, you know, when you're young and you're with your friends and it's like, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, you don't think anything of it. And I know it sounds so cheesy, but it's like, around the time I stopped smoking, I started doing a lot of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I just excelled because I was putting all of my energy into that. Like, I wasn't doing anything else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what if I was doing this with everything?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then it really made me think, like, what have I been missing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What have I been not putting my all into, or not putting, like, all of my brain power into?
Right.
For everyone, it's different. Like, for some people, marijuana doesn't affect them. Like, now I see it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like... like I had.
How do you see how it affected you though? When you look at yourself today, and then you look at you then when you were, I'll say, smoking excessively, because I do think that that plant can be helpful.
It is a medicine for a lot of people.
Definitely.
And it raises quality of life for a lot of people.
People, absolutely. Sure.
But when it's not something that is like you need it medically,
right?
And you're just using it, like for me, like maybe like, you know, once every 2 weeks or whatever is a vibe. But, like, for me, it was like...
yes, it was.
Yeah.
But, like, anything else, if you abuse it...
yeah.
Like, it's not helpful.
Exactly.
Right? And I feel like people think because it comes out of the ground, you can't abuse it.
Totally.
And that's not true.
Yeah.
Heroin comes out of the ground.
Heroin comes out of the ground, too. Right. So what have you seen that's different? What had you seen?
I'm less anxious, which
less
is...
less anxious.
Who would have thought? That's ridiculous. I never understood that smoking would actually make me more anxious.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you're more productive?
100%.
More focused?
100%. When I was bored, I would just smoke. Now, because of this quarantine, bored all the time, but I'm putting my energy into different things.
Ah, yeah. So when you're ready to stop using, you gotta be ready for a whole new lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah. And knowing exactly why that you're doing that. Because for me, I realized it's the oral fixation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even really the getting high. It's the, like, oral fixation of, like, just smoking that I really enjoyed. So now I'm starting to, like, figure out, okay, like, utilizing CBD in different ways. It's not psychoactive, but because I've been working out so much, helps your muscles, it helps all these other different things. So I'm like, maybe I can just... satiate that in different ways that aren't psychoactive, that are like dumbing me down, basically.
Right. Did it help at all when I just kept going, hey, I need you to see this?
I mean...
or did it make you go, you don't know what you're talking about?
This is the thing. It's not that it didn't make sense because now I see what you were saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But before I was like... because my biggest thing was like, I would understand if I was like not...
productive.
Yeah, not productive. If I wasn't working and if I wasn't like making an effort
and supporting yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
Then I could see how it would be like, eh. But that was my justification of being like, oh, like I'm doing all this, so
at the end of the day, as a parent, you did what you were supposed
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
Because in the long run,
it works.
She is gonna remember that.
I think that the more aggressive you are, the more the kid's gonna go,
But if you think that a parent tries to talk to their child in a way of like, hey, this is what I see.
Yeah.
I know you have to make decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm afraid,
totally.
You know,
right.
Because I look at this as one day this isn't going to be enough.
Yeah,
you might go into something heavier.
That to me, that sounds like, because this is the thing. I might be a little immature, but I'm not like off the wagon.
No, but
I'm not trying to hurt myself.
No.
You know what I mean?
We don't and ever think we're trying to hurt ourselves when we're just trying to have some...
I wasn't trying to hurt myself either.
Me either.
I was trying to have a good time.
Yep, that's all I was trying to do was have a good time, you know?
And so I was just trying to have a good time.
I know what bloodline you come from.
Exactly.
So I was just always...
You guys are so funny.
See?
We're in there deep.
So I would just say to you, hey, you're losing your shine. You're losing your glow.
Exactly.
Like, you could be doing even more than
totally.
What you're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, you could be doing more of the things that you really want to do.
Exactly.
What would be your suggestion for young people that are quarantined at this time, that are serious smokers, right, who might decide, wow, I don't want to do this anymore?
Just really think about, like, what is the first thought in your head before you smoke? Like, what is your first thought?
Yeah, what's going on inside
of you? And if that's like a thought of like stress or a thought of using it as a crutch in any way, try to think about that.
Right.
And if that comes from a negative place, examine that.
Right.
Because if it comes from a negative place,
if you're trying to run from something,
that could just snowball.
Right.
And just think about what are some other things that you could utilize that aren't physically or mentally dampening.
Right.
Right. Like, How did you
start stopping?
Your excessive smoking.
I got rid of all of everything. Like, I got rid of everything that I could smoke with.
Okay.
And smoke. After that, it was like, okay, like, now if I want to smoke, I'm going to have to, like, make an effort. You know what I mean? And then making that effort is going to make me feel like, this is kind of weird.
It's gonna make you stop and think.
Exactly. So that would be my first thing. Second thing, for my health, and especially now because COVID is a respiratory thing,
right.
I'm really glad that I stopped when I did, because it does make you more vulnerable.
You were explaining to me also that you have a routine. When you
yes.
wake up, you know what you're doing.
100%. Especially now when we gotta stay in our house, I wake up. I do my hour and 30 minutes of yoga. I've been trying to get fluent in Spanish, so take a shower. After that, I'm like doing my Spanish work. You have to fill your days with like,
things that are meaningful to you.
Yeah, things that are meaningful to you that like occupy your mind.
I remember when I was first getting clean too, which happened many times. I was like a revolving door for a while, but a routine was really important, and I had to have a plan for my day.
Right.
I'm still very routine. I still have to have a plan for my day. If I don't have a plan, then I feel a little, eh.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not that spontaneous, and people need to know where I am and what I'm doing. I could not have free time to myself.
And just be rolling.
And just be rolling.
Right.
No, because if I'm rolling, you don't know where I'm going. I'm going over here.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm going down Poplar Grove. I don't need to.
Right. So
you
needed
what I'm
somebody to help you stay accountable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what I would share with people out here when they can't get to a meeting. It's about being connected to people, because just because you can't physically be near people, you can still be connected to people. And I'm telling you, these online meetings are extremely helpful. Because you can opt to see people or not. You can have the video on or not. So you feel like you're at a meeting.
That's great. That is just as powerful.
It's just as powerful.
I will say that as your mother, I see that you are far more emotionally balanced.
Definitely.
And you remain in a more constant good place.
Totally.
Where
I
feel like
agree.
When you were smoking, you were on a complete
up and down,
roller coaster
up and down,
ride.
Up and down, up
yes.
and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
I completely
kudos
agree.
To you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank
Yay.
You.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. I'm really proud. So joining us is Dr. Mike Dow. He is a family therapist and psychotherapist specializing in addictions of all kinds. We know a lot of people are out there struggling, whether it's with food, alcohol,
or drugs during this particular time?
Yeah, people are really starting to feel the effects because this is a hard time, you know? When you have the disease of addiction present, what's at stake is their life, right? And you have something like a severe stressor like this pandemic, you're gonna see that this disease is really gonna surface and come out in full force.
Yeah, I have to agree, because even, I mean, with me, it's been a long time since I've had a drink or anything, but it's so funny because old emotional habits try to creep back in.
Yeah.
And that's been a trip, because I haven't had to deal with that in a long time. But yeah. Like, you know, old emotional habits that you would use to justify, let me just get out a bottle of wine and just kick it.
And
you know what
chill.
I mean? Just knowing that, oh, no, not you.
Right.
Because you know that one bottle will turn into two, and then you'll be back to three.
Exactly.
So Andrew in Long Island, New York has a question. What's going on, Andrew?
My name's Andrew, obviously. 30 years old. Been dealing with heroin and opiate addiction since I was 23. As of today, I'm 34 days clean. I literally left...
Congratulations.
I left rehab, and that day was like when this whole pandemic started to happen, and I was not prepared for that at all. But, you know, I overdosed twice in the same day before I went to rehab, and I have a good plan and everything. But with being newly sober, the one thing I'm really struggling with is without like that personal connection with in-person conversations, meeting people, stuff like that. So I just want to ask, like, what advice would you give to, you know, fill that void that I feel like I'm lacking?
Yeah.
Dr. Mike?
I feel you. You know, there is something to be said, whether you're in the rooms or, you know, in, I know in my office, I'm missing that person-to-person connection. My advice for you is to just live through the serenity prayer right now. You could not control the fact that the pandemic was going to hit just at the time that you were getting out of rehab.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that you have control over. You are missing connection, as I think so many people are right now. So, you know, in whatever way you can get that right now, get it. Whether that's a Zoom meeting, video conferencing. I'm using like a encrypted video conferencing service for my patients to do one-on-one therapy, FaceTiming with your friends, you know, setting up time to like have dinner with them over FaceTime. Whatever it is that you can do for right now. Until that time passes.
I don't know if you have a sponsor, Andrew, but I would encourage you to try to get a sponsor in this time if you possibly can. And really, the online meetings through Zoom are absolutely great. Have you tried that yet?
Yeah, I've been going to them. I've been sharing. But for some reason, I can't get into the online meetings. You know, I'm not going to say I love them. It's just tough for me.
I feel you. I understand that it's difficult and challenging for you. But just know that this too shall pass. It will. It will pass. And this is just what you need to do to maintain yourself until you're able to get back into the meetings. And, you know, it's something that you just don't have any control over. So you just have to try to stay connected however you can. And your phone and your computer right now is going to be your best friend.
Just so that you know, Andrew, to just give you a little context, my mother, Gammy here, she's 29 years clean from a heroin addiction.
Heroin was my drug of choice, too, so I definitely feel you.
Yeah.
And you can also look at this is that it's maybe a good time for you, too, because now you're confined to the house. And so you can't even get out there to, like, sneak out and go.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly like, you know, I've been walking 5-6 miles a day. I have a routine, things that I do. I meditate, a lot of stuff. That's the hardest part was, like, you know, dealing with your own emotions, especially newly clean. It's funny, the one thing I'm missing the most is seeing people in person.
Yeah.
As far as what you said, getting a sponsor, you're 100% right. And I just never did in the past, but I'm ready.
And you're doing it, Andrew.
Yeah.
You're doing it. You know what I mean? You're actually doing it. So just focus on the things that you're doing right now. And once again, this too shall pass. You're on the right path, you know?
Yeah,
keep
no,
praying.
No, this is temporary.
Yeah.
It's all temporary, and you're right. We have no control over it.
Right. And tell yourself your own story. Remember what you came from. And know that you don't want to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
My mom saved my life. She walked in. I wasn't even breathing. I told her, you gave birth to me, and then you rebirthed me when you saved my life, because I've been clean since then, and I have a totally different look. And I thank her for that, you know, every day.
You know what, Andrew? We are sending you love and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be praying for you on this side, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we're really happy for you to be where you are right now.
Of course. Day by day. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yep. One day at a time, Andrew. One day at a time.
Thank you, Andrew.
Wow.
That's powerful.
It is.
I'm really concerned about the newcomers, especially those ones that, I mean, when I'm online, I'm hearing people that have 27 days, 9 days, 24 hours.
Yeah. So if you're newly sober right now, it's really tricky, but you can go back to the basics. You can do what a lot of addicts will do in the beginning of their sobriety, which is 90 meetings in 90 days. It can't be in person. You know, you may have to do those 90 meetings in Zoom. You can find a sponsor. You can find a new individual therapist online and do weekly or even daily sessions if you need to right now.
And one thing I want to say, too, for a lot of people, it was the meeting after the meeting.
Right.
You know, you go to the meeting, but then it was all the socializing and the connections and the camaraderie that you developed and relationships that you developed with people after the meeting. And there's still a way to do that. Your phone is going to be your best friend around this time.
Right.
And you just really have got to go the full length to stay connected with people.
And I would guess to really lean on your sponsor.
Yeah.
Big time.
And if don't feel like if you don't have one, you can't get one. Because I was on a meeting last night when there was a young lady that was looking for a sponsor.
Right.
And the person that was running the meeting was like, hey, anybody who can help this young lady, please put your information in the chat so that she can reach out. People, put your phone numbers in. I mean, it still run like a traditional meeting.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
Aloha, Jada. My name is Rochelle, and I'm from Ever Beach, Hawaii. I was on track to lose weight, but then the pandemic hit, and now I can't go to the gym. How can I stay on track and fight off my cravings to want to sit at home?
This is a hard one. I'm seeing a lot of people having a lot of struggle around food.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend that is going through the exact same thing.
Yeah, because you're sitting home and you just, there's a bunch of junk and you're bored and you're eating out of boredom. Help us, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
And isn't it sort of crazy that health professionals and all the things you say in the news always say to avoid processed food, and now, you know, all of the recommendations are, hey, stock up on all that food. And of course, those processed foods are the ones that are highly addictive. And of course, food is the most socially acceptable drug of choice. And, you know, neurochemically speaking, sugar releases dopamine in the brain, just like cocaine does. So, you know, you can see how all of these processed foods especially can be so addictive in the brain. You know, I think a couple strategies work. First, having a plan. You know, we see in research that just the act of taking your food out of a container, putting it on a real plate, and sitting at a table works wonders at helping people to actually eat less.
Huh.
Because, you know, what happens, we eat mindlessly. Research looking at other countries versus Americans, Americans don't listen to their internal cues for satiety. We tend to watch the TV as we're eating, so we don't even realize that we're full. But when we actually sit down at a table, we're forced to turn to those internal cues. And by the way, now is not the time you need to like rush through your meal and get drive through. You know, you have the time to like prepare the meal. You could actually sit down as a family.
Just like you said, Dr. Mike, that is one addiction that is super socially accepted, and we can build all kinds of justifications around why we should be allowed to eat whatever we want at this time because food's not available in certain areas. You gotta get what you can. That's a hardcore struggle.
Yeah. And especially for food addicts, you know, because Gam wouldn't sit at home with a bunch of heroin, but food addicts and people with eating disorders, they have to have food in their cabinets, in their freezer right now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's especially hard for them.
Food addicts should be able to find programs online as well. When you spoke about putting the food that you are planning to eat on a plate, taking it to the table so that if you have issues with food addictions, that has to be part of the routine, right? That to bring yourself into a level of mindfulness that you got to put those Cheetos on a plate, right? Or those barbecue potato chips, and you got to put it on a plate and sit at the table and actually eat it. And then you look at it and you go, should I really be eating this right now?
Exactly.
Right? Because it definitely puts in a certain mindfulness.
Yeah.
I think that's a really helpful tip, even for me.
Yes. I have to remember that tonight when I want a cookie. Yeah. I have to keep my plate and put my cookie on the...
You know, because for me, it's barbecue potato chips. So, and french fries and pizza. Next question.
Hey, ladies. My name's Brittany, and I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So being home all day long because the quarantine is driving me a bit nuts, I'm used to waiting until at least 5 p.m. for some wine, but now that my girlfriends and I are having a virtual cocktail party, I'm noticing my drinking starting earlier and earlier in the day. Do you think this is okay given the circumstances, or do you think I should be cutting back?
Well, the fact that you're asking is an early indication that maybe you do have a problem. You
Bingo.
Know, in healthcare, the four questions we ask are, have you ever felt that you needed to cut back on your drinking? Have you ever gotten annoyed that somebody else suggested it? Have you ever felt guilty? And have you ever needed an eye opener in the morning? And, you know, if you answer yes to one of those questions, then you may have a problem with drinking. So, you know, it's just a great time to change our relationship to foods, to vices, and to replace them. One of the things that I love Willow was talking about is using a lot of replacement therapy. So focusing not so much on what we're taking away from our lives, you know, less 420, but actually focusing more on what we're adding, like more yoga. And it's like, okay, what could I add to my life, not what am I taking away? Because when we focus on what we add, it's coming at life from this place of abundance as opposed to a place of lack. And human beings do a lot better when we come at it from like a, what can I add to my day rather than what do I have to take away?
I love that adding, because really most of the time it's like we're thinking to ourselves like, oh man, like I already feel like I don't have enough. So if this is taken away, like what am I going to do? But changing that perspective of no, what can I add so that maybe I won't even have time for this part.
Right. All right. So next question.
Hi, Red Table. My name is Marvin. I'm from Washington, D.C., and unfortunately, I am a smoker, but I have been trying to quit because I do hear that COVID-19 does kill smokers at a faster rate than non-smokers. But I just can't seem to stop. Please help me.
That's a great question, because it is so important for us all to quit. Urges don't actually last long. So if you can buy yourself 5 minutes, those addictive urges have a chance to just sort of pass through. I really like diaphragmatic breathing. So one thing that you can do is just place one hand up here and another on your belly. When we move into fight or flight, your breathing tends to be up here by your chest. When we're in that opposite state, the rest and digest, your breathing tends to be down in your belly. So all you have to do is only move the hand that is on your belly and keep the hand at your chest completely still. That actually tricks the brain into thinking that danger has passed. And if you just do this really deep belly breathing for 5 minutes, you'll actually notice that blood pressure can come down. You're going to feel more physically calm. And all of those things can allow that urge to pass.
That's amazing.
So next question.
Hi, Jada. My name's Tara. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I cannot stop worrying about COVID-19. I'm someone who already has a lot of anxiety, so times like this are really rough for me. And I'm also affecting my friends and family. If you have any advice, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to this. And I've seen OCD-like symptoms in most of the country now.
Yeah.
We can't confuse the possible with the probable. We have to just continue to do what we can to keep safe. The one fear that I have is that all of the people with anxiety disorders and OCD, that this is going to be the undoing of them, because I've worked with them so hard to help them to realize that the world is actually a pretty safe place. And now they're going to say, see, I told you the world wasn't safe.
Yeah.
But that thinking is sort of this black or white thinking that if this time was unsafe, therefore the whole world is unsafe and it will always be unsafe. And we have to realize that this is not how it will always be. And we have to realize that, yes, in this time right now, we are doing things that are unique and that this time will pass. The more we focus on the things that we can control, I think the more peace we will all feel with the things that we can't control, i.e. the coronavirus pandemic right now.
Yeah. It's so funny that you're talking about this, because as you can see, we have no shoes on, because we were just talking about this before we came in here. I was saying, okay, everybody take their shoes off. Yeah. We can't, you know, no wearing shoes. anywhere in the house. Right. Any shoe that's ever been outside, don't wear it in the house because we heard that the virus might live on the bottom of your shoes. And then Willow was just like, you know what? At some point, you just gotta chill and let go, yeah. You know? And so I'm really working on my...
Chill and let go.
My chill and let go. Because, yeah. Because it is so easy to just try to... Someone like me who's, you know, always trying to control everything. And I just realized in this particular circumstance, I'm really learning in a hardcore way what I'm actually not in control of at all.
Yeah.
We have Marlene in Flint, Michigan has a question.
Hi, Jada, Willow, and Gammy.
Hey!
I have been a recovering alcoholic for 4 years now.
Okay.
And I used alcohol to self-medicate from when I was younger because I had a very traumatic childhood. And now I'm in isolation, which means I have a lot of idle time. And I don't want to go back there. I really don't.
Marlene, do you go on to any AA meetings online?
No, I don't go to AA meetings online. I had a really bad drinking habit at 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize what it was until I got older. And I kind of skipped the AA because they made me realize what it was that made me drink was my past. It's just so, it's really hard for me to go back into it too far because I kind of block it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's your brain protecting you. I believe that you have not gone to the root of your trauma. My gut is telling me that you still have unprocessed trauma or under-treated trauma. Is that right?
Correct.
Unprocessed trauma is one of the biggest triggers in my experience for addiction.
Mm.
And if we could successfully process your trauma, I believe that you would notice a decrease in your urges to drink, right? So it's sort of like the dominoes. It's like you're sort of focusing on the eighth domino. We need to go back to the first domino. Mm. You know, why did those urges appear in the first place? I would say right now, AA via Zoom, but when this coronavirus isolation is over, you know, look for a practitioner in your area who's trained to treat trauma.
Well, thank you, Marlene.
Thank you.
I'm really hoping that you can find a support group to at least get you through this time of isolation in regards to keeping on the path of not drinking. So we are sending you just love and strength. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think you guys are so beautiful.
Thank you. We have one of Willow's friends named Jesse. And the reason why I'm excited to have Jesse speak with us today is because Jesse's got a year clean as of 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Whoa! Jesse! Jesse! Congratulations!
Congratulations!
We heard that you have a question for Dr. Mike here.
Yeah, so things around, I live in a treatment center and things have been like a bit wild around here. And the fact is that I have a year, and that's like a lot longer than some people have around here. So how do I like shepherd people through the darkness right now when like I can't even really see myself?
Mm.
Wow, that's real.
That's a great question, Jesse. What I always tell people is get specific. You know, hey, I'm going to FaceTime you or, you know, you and I, let's sit down and do a big book meeting like Thursday, you and me, you know, and the more specific you can get, especially if you see people are struggling with that request or that offer, the better. So good work, Jesse. And thanks for being a light for others.
I would say too, Jesse, to try to get people to stay in the now and that people should not spend a lot of time looking towards tomorrow. Like try to stay in the present.
Like
what's happening right now today. And sometimes you have to do it minute by minute, hour by hour, you know, to just get through. But that's how we do it, one day at a time. Everything is one day at a time. And if you start looking down the road to next Thursday or Friday, sometimes even tomorrow, it gets to be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to try to keep people focused on the present. What's happening right now? What are you doing right now? Well, right now you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're having a conversation. You know, maybe there's a meeting that you can log on to in 10 minutes or whatever. You know what I mean? So just try to keep people kind of focused on the now. That should
help. Yeah, I mean, it's scary. I have a lot of friends who, because of this, they decided to, like, leave the treatment center, and they're now all, like, out. And,
wow.
Like, one of my friends left, the first day he left, he overdosed on fentanyl.
Oh, yeah.
And,
my God.
He managed to be, he's like, okay. But I said to him, I was like, dude, like, if you keep this up, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And we both lost a friend like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So we know, like, it's so serious around here. It's scary.
Yeah.
One of my first days, one of my best friends here said something to me that's stuck in my head. And that's rehab is where you meet people, have the most intimate friendships you've ever had, the strongest relationships you're ever going to make. And then some of those people are going to die.
There you go.
That's real.
Everybody's not going to make it. That's so true, Jesse.
Everybody's not
going to
make it. Well, thank you, Jesse. I really appreciate your desire to help others through the darkness during this time. And we're proud of you over here. And we are flowing you a lot of love and strength your way.
Take care of yourself, Jesse. I want to say, too, you do have to be careful trying to help other people.
Right.
And just recognize that you are the most important one.
Right. These are the times where everybody's so vulnerable. You really got to make sure you're taking care of yourself first.
I was talking to Karen the other day. And
who is your sister.
Right.
Who also has how many years clean?
If I have 30, that means she probably is going into 40.
40. Wow. Okay.
We were just talking about, while people are talking about being bored, I see this whole time as an opportunity for the world to kind of hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
And to really start going inside, thinking about who you are as a person, what's really important to you.
Yeah.
Think about how you've been living your life and what changes you need to make for yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Just for yourself. It's kind of like an opportunity to clean up and clean out.
Yeah.
Right?
I definitely believe that.
So what do we do to try to keep people on a positive path, to be in a more positive frame of mind while this is happening?
I think it's what the doctor was saying. Instead of thinking about having to get rid of things
putting,
it's more about what can I add versus what's being taken away. Okay.
And I don't want to get foofy, but also just like what helps me is just like listing things that like I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Things that I took for granted before and now really like every single aspect of everything, you know, really just... You know, right now, health, like as of right now, we're healthy.
Right.
You know, and just going, thank you. You know, any other time, I'm not even really thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know?
For addicts, being grateful and the attitude of gratitude is paramount to our recovery process. The old saying is a grateful addict will never use. You know, if you're staying grounded in gratitude, thinking about where you came from and where you are now.
Right.
Just tell yourself your own story. You don't have to hear anybody else's story. I don't need to hear anybody else's story, really, if I remember my own. Okay?
You better preach.
So a grateful addict will not use. You gotta do what's necessary to stay in a place of gratitude.
Right. That works for all of us right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Just stay
in
a place of gratitude. I just want to thank everyone who shared their testimony with us today. And just know we are really sending love and strength to all those out there who are struggling with addictions of all kind. And even if you can't do it for yourself right now, find something or someone to do it for.
Right.
Yeah. Because we're not always in the space where we can do it for ourselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, in my times of trial, my kids.
Yeah.
My kids. Just find that thing.
Yep. Yeah. And at some point in time, the light bulb will go off and you'll be doing it for you.
Exactly. And that's real. And when the universe knows that it's something you really want, doors open.
Yeah.
And that's true, too.
When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Well, let's end in a serenity prayer.
Yeah.
Yes. Damn, you know the serenity prayer?
I do. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
There it is. I wish I could give you guys a hug now, but I can't.
Love you both.
Gam, thank you.
Yeah.
You always come through with the gangster wisdom, that OG wisdom, the 29 years sobriety wisdom. That's all I got gotta say.
Yeah.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk Podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.